Blog Talk Radio.
Who's your hero?
Feels like a jungle sometimes. Makes me wonder, is rap the new poet that bro? Making us all go under. Sounds like criminal thunder, calling my hate that's stopping you. I'm too old to be popular. I ain't faster than no speed bullet, I can't fly. And I damn sure ain't high. You wanna know why? Here's a page from 1969. Peace! And I don't mean no crooked police. Avoid that pork at all costs of them old beef. It's fuel for the motor, make you feel the quota. That's why I hate that Scarface flick. Not Brad Jordan, but that Al Pacino shirt you're sporting. Yeah, I said it. Perhaps you ain't ready if you was black or brown. Your ass damn sure wouldn't be down. So many crowns promote criminal backgrounds. Using crime like sugar to get them kids hyper. These new pot pipers is the new Corndell Pro. That's right. Who's the hero? Who's the hero? Attention way back when KRS-One said love's gonna get this stuck in my kitchen. So many cats switching to get on that old road to riches. Stupid talking about stitching. Whole lot of killing with that so-called bling. Hide the villain. Twisted, sucking into loving just to get her. Supported by mixtape DJs and supporters. They supposed to know better. It's time for some action. Get that whip and a mass distraction. Who's your hero? Who's your hero?
Welcome to EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Southeast Queens, New York. Tonight, we're going to be sounding off. This is your opportunity, the listeners, to call in and sound off on a few events that have taken place, such as the Trayvon Martin verdict, gun violence in urban America. We're talking about black churches, sex, love, money, race, and also what the hell is going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in, and you can sound off on what we're talking about tonight. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. I'll read them off and try to respond. And also, if you are not in the chat room and you're listening and you're on the Blog Talk Radio website, you can log on by way of Facebook or Twitter. Also, tonight, when you do call in, please be aware of background noise such as dogs, cats, children, etc. On this show, we allow you to express your views. We just ask that you be respectful of others' views. I'm saying don't attack, okay? We agree to disagree on this show, all right? And there are no rights and no wrongs, but I do have rules, and that is we do not respect each other, whether we agree or not. We can agree to disagree. I want to welcome those that are in the chat room. If you can, please write your name in so I'll know who's in the chat room, because what I see, I'll see a guest in a four-digit number but doesn't actually give your name. That isn't so in all cases, but some of the guests, I don't see your name. Again, our call-in number is 2589271. We're sounding off tonight. We're sounding off about the Trayvon Martin verdict, gun violence in urban America, black churches, sex, love, money, race, and also what the hell is going on with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West. This is what we're talking about this evening, and we'll be right back and get it started right after this.
All right, y'all. Settle down. If you don't know where you are, this is Statistics 101, and I'm your teacher, Life James, in the flesh, baby. Books out. Let's go.
25% of all men are unstable. 25% of all men can be faithful. 30% of them don't mean what they say.
SOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Tonight, we're sounding off on the Trayvon Martin verdict, gun violence in urban America, black churches, sex, love, money, and race. Also, can someone tell me what's going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley? Calling number tonight, 2589271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. And you can come on and sound off and give your view of what is going on. Also, the chat room is open. Please feel free to leave your comments. I'll read them off accordingly. I'll even respond to some if I can. And when you do call in, please be aware of background noise. Well, I'm waiting on the phone lines to fill up. There were a couple of callers on the line. I don't know what happened. Their calls dropped or they hung up. I don't know if you can hear me or you're not on the board. Please call back in. I'm going to kick this off because this has really been bugging me lately. And perhaps some of you listening can help me out on this one because I really want to know what the hell is going on with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West. I've been noticing that ever since President Barack Obama has taken office, they have been on a campaign to discredit our president. I'm trying to figure this out because these two gentlemen are black men. Dr. Cornel West, who I have a lot of admiration and respect for, has lately been on a tirade of attacking not only the president, but other black leaders as well. He has gone as far as to calling some black leaders who work for MSNBC, they call them the Rent a Negro Network. Now, I don't know. For me, that's kind of a vicious attack, okay? He has went after President Obama relentlessly, and he begins his attacks with how much he loves President Barack Obama. But what he expresses to me does not show any kind of love. Okay, President Obama, thank God, spoke on Trayvon Martin and the outcome of the verdict. And Cornel West and Tavis Smiley both viciously attacked President Obama and felt that the president came up short. Well, I have to disagree with that, because what would have you said had the president said nothing at all? It appears to me that no matter what the president says or does, Cornel West and Tavis Smiley are going to have something negative to say. Well, somebody please tell me why. Because both of these gentlemen give me the impression, let me say that they are pro-black. And here it is, we have a black man in the White House, and they are constantly and consistently trying to rip him to shreds. What is their real motive? What is really going on with them? I've heard jealousy. I've heard they're double agents. I've even heard that they sold out, that there's someone else behind them putting them up to what they're doing. If you got a view, please call in 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. We're also talking about gun violence in America, the black church, black love, sex and money, and, of course, race. I'm going to go to my first caller, but first I'm going to take a brief break while I screen this first call. So stand by.
Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners, murals that salute freedom or death for liberty, be it Inglewood or Egypt, Bed-Stuy or Baghdad, Syria or Liberia, the West Bank or the West Side of Chicago, where food and liquor stores still occupy the block, while police and community watchmen justify why they shot Emmett Till, Malice Green, Rekia Boyd, and Trayvon Martin, better not wear that hoodie while shopping for a carton of whatever they're selling in your food desert, because your soul is dessert and will be dissected and consumed on the Fox Evening News while we sing the blues the new Jim Crow caged bird sings. Because he's tired of occupying his misery and of our marching. He want to fly to a higher consciousness, but his school on academic probation, they gave him medicine, diagnosed him with a felony and mental retardation, so he refuses to cease to fire him. Nobody's hiring. In Illinois, 67 is a new age when you retiring. Class lines have blurred. Those who used to have not. Pensions being snatched. Those who never had keep their hands stretched. Social services being cut. Sterilization clinics giving out pills to numb the womb. Young girls referring to their vaginas as tombs, thinking protests are temporary and trendy. We'll rock a t-shirt and carry a poster, and 2 weeks later it's back to normal. But they say times are changing. The revolution is becoming second nature. Causes are combining. People carrying torches, hope burning from their hands, attaching explosive devices because they keep stealing their lands in the name of freedom. Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners.
And we're back. Tonight, we're sounding off. We're talking about the Trayvon Martin verdict, gun violence in urban America, black churches, sex, love, money, race, and what the hell is going on with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West. I'm going to go to my phone lines. I got my first caller on the line, brother by the name of Jamal. Good evening, brother Jamal. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes, I can. Well,
Welcome to tonight's show. I would like to sound off about
black churches.
There you go, brother.
You know, we got our ministers, well, they are ministers. They preach the gospel, well, they so-called, they spread the gospel. But my thing is, why aren't any of those ministers out there in the street with the people that actually need to be led to God? I mean, the people that come to church every Sunday, obviously, they already know what's going on. My thing is, why don't they get out there in the community? Why don't they go to the crack houses? Why don't they go to the dope-infested areas? Why don't they go and talk to the gang members? You know what I mean, about what's going on and what they need to change. And in my opinion, I kind of see that as sort of like a coward, so to say. Like, you know, you stay where you're safe and you stay where you're content. But as far as what I know about Jesus Christ, he marched around them all. I mean, the Bible says, as someone poor, he became as poor. You know what I mean? He took on all shades, fashions, and forms. So if they are striving to live to be Christ-like, I don't see the purpose in spreading the message to the people that already know. You need to be reaching out to the lost sheep and not the sheep that already know what's going on.
You know what,
and
brother?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. Continue.
And I never recall anywhere in the Bible that said, like, well, Jesus actually took a check or was paid to spread the gospel. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, they come to church and they got their big fine cars and woo-woo-woo and what have you. And I actually have, there was an incident. Something happened with me, and it turned me away from churches, period, point blank. That was the time I was incarcerated. I got out. I found a job. I needed $13 for a bus pass just to go to work for a week until I received the check. So it was one cold night. It was cold outside, and I began to walk, and I'm walking, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get these $13. I saw a lot of cars sitting at a church. This was in Atlanta, Georgia. I saw a lot of cars sitting at a church, and I figured that they were having some type of meeting or a Bible study or what have you. I walked into the church, and I explained to them my situation, and they turned me away. But to make a long story short, I wound up selling the leather coat off my back for just $20 and walked back home in the cold. So, I mean, what was that to show me? What if I was that angel? What if I was Jesus in disguise? You don't know who I was to turn me away. And it's like 20 people in there. You mean to tell me they all couldn't put in a quarter or a dollar or something to help me get back and forth to work? I explained my situation. I showed them my release papers, told them I was trying to do better, and they straight turned me away and told me they couldn't do nothing for me. So in a sense, that kind of like dealing with that and having that to happen to me firsthand, and I know it has happened to a million other people, I mean, basically I turned my back on them. I sit at home and I study, and I don't claim a denomination of a religion. I read all sorts of books. I read the Torah. I read the Quran. I read the Book of Mormon. I read them all. I take what I can use from each book, and I apply it to my daily life. What I can't use, I throw it out the window. But I do believe in the Lord God, and I also do believe in Jesus Christ. But I just will refuse to take on a title because, in my opinion, religion is a ritual. And religion is also a sort of way to divide people. Like, you got religion, race and color, rich and poor, he got this, I got that, he got this, I don't have this. It's all methods of division. And in order to divide and conquer people, you must have division in place.
Well, Brother Jamal, you know, you have just said a lot, and I'm quite sure there are quite a few folk who are listening who are probably in agreement. Okay. You mentioned Jesus, and you mentioned you read. So I'm quite sure, based on what you said, some of the things that you read contradicts what they do in some of these churches. Okay,
exactly.
I'm in full agreement of the fact that where are the clergy who need to get out in the streets and go and help the lost, as you said. Okay, unfortunately, there are not many clergy doing that. There are some. I know some personally. But where we expect it to come from, it's not coming from there, and that is the mega churches. The ones that are bringing in thousands of dollars every Sunday. Okay? Where are they at? You know, why aren't they sharing their wealth to help the urban communities of America that are in trouble, that are suffering from the plague of gun violence? Where are they at? Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not even really that I'm not sorry. Let me say that. They're coming up short, period. Okay, our children are dying out there. There's brothers coming home like yourself that need handouts, and they're turning their backs on them. Okay, and that's not a good message to send. You know, I can understand you coming home and asking, humbling yourself and asking for help and being turned away. Thank God you didn't decide to say, to hell with it, I tried, and this is what I got. You still hung in there and did what you needed to do, you know. And I have to give you, you know, your kudos on that. Also, you know, I'm in pretty much agreement. You know, churches need to wake up. Any great movement has always been led by the church. Dr. King, you know, he came out God strong. Okay. Malcolm X, he came out God strong. And this is what we're lacking today in urban communities. In movements for change, we're lacking that, you know, and we're lacking the spiritual leadership that will unite us as one in our movements for peace, for the betterment of our communities, and for the prevention of gun violence. And I don't know, man, just a lot of folks are not really catching on, Jamal. I really don't understand. You know, I'm trying to figure it out, but I think you said a word, and that word was fear. You know, the fear of doing something different, because if nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, so I really want to thank you for coming on and sounding off about that, you know, because I think that's something that folks really, really need to hear. You know, and listening to you shines hope, and there can be change. There can be change. You know, you're right. You know, when you talk about Jesus, you know, a lot of folks, I don't know, don't know this or unaware of this, but, you know, he went after those who didn't have, the poor and the hurt, you know, and the downtrodden. And his disciples, okay, these cats was no joke. You know, people get that, you know, image of, you know, holy men. You better read up and find out who they really were, because they weren't
at
all.
Because for a fact, the Bible says when they came and tried to take Jesus from the garden, he cut one of their ears off, so we know for a fact that they were strapped.
Okay, so, you know.
We know that for a fact. And we also know that when Jesus, according to the Bible, when Jesus went into the temple and them folks was in there, they was buying, selling, and trading, he went in there and he turned stuff over. Now, you got to use your imagination. It was a fight in there that day.
All right.
There had to be a fight, because if you've been conducting business in the building this long, who are you to come in here and turn my stuff over and tell me I got to get out? So it had to have been a fight. Him and the 12 was in there banging. And they was fighting for a good cause.
Exactly.
The Bible didn't go into detail, but you got to use your imagination. If you have been in a building for so long, and that's where you make your money, and somebody can turn your table over, it's going to be a confrontation, and it's not going to be verbally.
Exactly. And you said, you know, imagination. I don't even think it's imagination, Jamal. I call it common sense. Sometimes you just
Agreed.
Have to have that common sense.
Agreed.
That's all. I'm going to take my next caller, sister out of Virginia. But before I do, anyone that's listening, let me tell you what we're talking about tonight. We're sounding off tonight, and we're sounding off on a variety of things. And one of them you just heard, the Black Church. We're sounding off on the Trayvon Martin verdict, gun violence in urban America, black love, black sex, money, race, and also what the hell is going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. Jamal, don't go nowhere. I'm going to put your mic on mute. I'm going to go right to my next caller, so stand by. This is a sister out of Virginia. Welcome to the show, Sister Nicole. Hello, can
you hear me? Good night, everybody.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Listening to the last comments.
Right. Thanks for calling in. You know, we're sounding off tonight. What do you want to sound off about?
It's too much to sound off about. It's too much going on. But honestly, hold on, a plane passing by.
Okay.
Honestly, I would have to say right now what I'm getting frustrated with is the levels of reverse racism that I'm seeing as a result of this Trayvon Martin verdict. I understand people are going to be angry, you know, brothers and sisters, white folks alike, but all of a sudden, you know, in my own group and your group, other groups that I see, you know, you have a lot of people now who are trying to, you know, state their case and prove how they're right. But by doing so, you know, they too are turning into or manifesting their racial preferences themselves. You know, it's kind of frustrating, you know, trying to keep it at bay, you know, but you get tired of trying to tell everybody that we're eliminating every white man in America, you know, things of that nature. So that's my point.
Well, you know, I think with this Trayvon Martin case, racism has once again reared its ugly head. It's not like it went anywhere. Right, you know, we're living in the times where racism is pretty overt, you know. The Trayvon Martin case, you know, folks say, well, you know, it was about race, and you got those who say it wasn't about race, you know, and that's coming from black folks and white folks who are saying this, you know. Black folks are saying, no, it wasn't about race. White folks are saying it wasn't about race. And then you got white saying it was about race, and you got black saying it was about race, you know. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the justice system. We have to look at the justice system, and is the justice system about race? Hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is. Because when that system was designed, we were not being thought about. When I say we, I'm talking about black folks. Okay? So when we say that it's not a system for us, it isn't. It isn't. You know, folks will say, well, it's the only system we have. It's the best system in the world. It still doesn't take away the fact that the scales of justice are not balanced when it comes to black folks, period. Okay? We've seen it over and over again. Black man gets killed, be it law enforcement or someone else, the person generally walks. Okay? And in the Trayvon Martin situation, you know, as I said and I will continue to say, the prosecution did not try to convict George Zimmerman. Anyone
not
who's watching this, anyone who paid attention to this case, the prosecution is to blame for why George Zimmerman did not get convicted. It was not the young woman Rachel's fault. It was the prosecution's fault. They presented a very, very weak case. I truly believe the fix was in from the very beginning. And we, as black Americans, have to learn to do something different, and we got to do it now. Okay? We're boycotting right now. Are we going to stay consistent in the boycott? I hope so. I just read the other day that Sanford County in Florida is hurting behind boycotts. Good. Good. Let's stay consistent, not just there, but across the United States. But also there's some things that we got to change in our own house. And we have to build ourselves up with economic empowerment and social empowerment in America. We don't have that. And I truly believe until we get that, we're not going to be able to level the playing field. So there's some areas that we need to clean up first about ourselves. Now, are we willing to do that? I hope so. I know I am. You know, because that's what's going to bring change. That's what's going to bring some kind of leveling of the playing field. Because right now the playing field isn't level at all. And we have to stay consistent in what we do. We can't just do it today or for a week or for a month. We got to stay consistent until the powers at large are willing to sit down and make some changes. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. You know, the racism, it's there. It's going to be there. Racism is not going anywhere. This thing is worldwide. And here in America, since we have a black president, it has become overt, vicious. Some of the things I've seen and read, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, when President Obama became president, there were people saying, we want our country back. Wow. Your country. We want your country. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because there's a black man in the White House, y'all have lost your country? That's insane. That's insane to me. That's crazy. He's the president of the United States. He represents us all, black, white, Chinese, Indian, whatever your nationality is, he represents the United States of America. Who are these people talking about their country? Who are they? Okay? These are the fools who haven't caught on to the fact that, guess what? It's going to be your own children that's going to turn the tide. Because believe me, as overt as racism is in America, there's some folks that's real tired of this. They're ashamed of their own people because of how they act and what they say and what they do. Now, as far as black folks, time for us to catch on that we cannot be reactive. We have to be proactive. And if you want change, then guess what? You got to do some things differently. We can't come from an emotional standpoint to bring change. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I watch our president, and from where I see him, and I don't agree with everything, but from where I see him, he is brilliant. Brilliant. Because America, there's not America, excuse me, there is a part of America who has been trying to get him to display angry black man. He's smarter than that. He's smarter than that. And I respect the fact that he is, that no matter what they come at him with, he's not coming with that. He knows how to beat you without becoming angry black man. Listen, we're sounding off tonight. Call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. We're sounding off about church, black churches, sex, love, money, race, and what the hell is going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. And we're also talking about the Trayvon Martin verdict. If you're in the chat room, please feel free to leave your comments. I'll answer them or I'll read them over the air. We're going to go back to the phone lines briefly, but I want you to stand by for just a minute. I'll be back after about 2 minutes.
Money makes a man, and that's a crime. If we all were rich, we'd spend more time with our daughters and sons. They're losing their minds. We all feel hurt. Here's mine. Nothing left to say. Two more young names to be carved out of stone. One summer day that went horribly wrong. Got my dog on the phone, crying and saying to leave him alone. But I'm not leaving his side. I know that somebody died, somebody's child. Some people duck down and some people hide. Some people just cannot react in time. Bullets do not choose a victim. It is the shooter that picks them. They just can't wait to get you in the system. The district attorney could use a conviction. Told you no guns and then you didn't listen. Life is so heavy with that on your soul. Dedicate this to Cheyenne and Josh and pour something out for the lives that they stole. 416. We'll be right back.
KIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based in Southeast Queens, New York. Tonight, we're sounding off. We're talking about gun violence in urban America, black churches, sex, love, money and race, and of course, the Trayvon Martin verdict. Also, what the hell is going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley? Going to go back to my phone line. Sister was on the line, a call dropper. She's back, and that's Sister Nicole. Good evening, Nicole. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. You were talking about the racism. And
on both ends, actually, at this point, you know. And we're having an issue with not realizing that by voicing our anger, some of us are just as racist as the people we're accusing. And I understand that a part of it is, you know, due to that anger and due to history and so on and so forth. But you can't, you know, scream foul, you know, and accost the whole artificial race, whoever you want to, you know, blame for what's going on. You know, in every religion, every race, there are supremacists, there are extremists, there are those who just lack common sense. But we can't pinpoint everyone. And that's the issue that I'm noticing, just, you know, listening to people and seeing what they're writing, so on and so forth.
Well, you know, Nicole, about 2 months back, I did a show, and the topic was who was guilty of being the most racist. And, you know, after the show, my view kind of changed, that we all hold some kind of guilt. Some kind of guilt that we've all come up short when it comes to racism, okay? I don't think there's anyone who can say they haven't displayed some kind of racism at least once. You know, they may have woken up to the fact that it's not right, but we've all done it. We're all guilty of it. I truly believe that, you know. As I said, it's not going away, and it's really extreme. And one of the reasons I truly believe is because of who resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. You know, we got a long way to go. You know, there's a lot of healing that has to go on, a lot of forgiving that has to go on. How we view each other needs to change. You know, when are we going to start looking at each other and respecting a person for their values and who they are and not by the color of their skin? That's going to take, I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but it's going to take something like that for change. I'm going to go back to the first caller, and that was Brother Jamal. Brother Jamal, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley?
I'm familiar with Cornel West, but not Tavis Smiley. I don't know what's going on with that. I can Google it and find out right quick and give an opinion, though.
No, well, just without Googling, you're saying you're familiar with Cornel West. Have you been following him lately?
Well, I'm going to tell you what Cornel West did about a year ago, and after that, I kind of sort of washed my hands of him. When Trayvon Martin was first killed, I attended the march. We had a march here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I attended that march, and Cornel West was present. Now, it was a Caucasian lady that put the march together, and she was speaking. And Cornel West basically snatched the megaphone out of her hand and was, like, kind of disrespectful in front of thousands of people. Like, and I was there to witness that. It probably never came out, but it is a video of it. And some lady from the background. Now, she did kind of was telling Cornel West to chill out, and he pushed the lady down, and he committed an act of violence. He didn't conduct himself as a grown man should. You know what I mean? Because he was trying to hog the bullhorn because he wanted to get his little two cent in there. And after that, I kind of like washed my hands because I feel like you got to lead by example.
I agree. I never heard of this incident.
Kept it quiet, man. If I ever find the video, I will tag it into one of the groups that we are a member of. If I find that video, I'm going to search for it because it was a video of it, and it happened, and I was there. And after
this
that, I sort of washed my hands because, like, you want to be a leader, and you're trying to tell people they should do this and do that and this, that, and the other, and you're not leading by example. So in my opinion, in order to be a good leader, you must lead by example. Don't tell me one thing, and then you go do something else. Because we was out here on a peaceful rally, and then you commit an act of violence. You know, even if you pushed the lady down, and that was just an act of violence, we wasn't out there for that. You know what I mean? So it's like you're saying one thing and you're doing another one. So I kind of washed my hands and quit following him. And I feel like everything, he come out of his mouth with a bunch of BS and woo-wash. And you know what I mean? That's just my opinion on the man.
You know, I'm listening to you and I'm saying to myself, what is going on with him? You know, he's made some, you know, some really vicious statements towards the president, Al Sharpton. You know, I'm saying to myself, where is this coming from?
I believe
he's envious, he's jealous.
If I just have to take a guess, I believe he's envious and he wants attention. He's an attention seeker, and he don't know how to get a positive attention. The only way he know to get attention is to lash out at somebody. Your typical 5-year-old kid, in my opinion.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because that's what I said the other day. They're acting like big babies seeking attention. That's exactly what I said. I wrote that on somebody's blog or something, you know, because I just don't understand them. I just don't. And, you know, with Cornel West, he talks about the love he has, but then he viciously attacks. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's me. That's not love.
Man,
that's
it's a
love.
Way. It is a way to tell somebody something if you feel like they are going the wrong path without attacking them viciously. There is a select set of words, you know, if people would read a dictionary and get up on their intellect, you know what I mean? And certain things should be kept behind closed doors and not made publicly. Certain arguments, you should go somewhere and sit down like two grown men and just have your argument and just agree to disagree and keep that up under the covers. Because I don't think it's cool to be displaying and airing all the dirty laundry. Like, when do you keep something a secret? I mean, I'm just saying. You got organizations, they have inner beef and inner turmoil, and they keep their turmoil as a secret. But we got a problem with, we want to put it all on Front Street, and you're not doing nothing but making us look bad as a race of people. Because you don't know how to go behind closed doors and settle your differences and agree to disagree on certain things and just bury the hatchet.
Right.
It's that always need for revenge or that need to be seen or that need to be heard. You know what I mean? Like, real G's move in silence. I mean, if you out there and you're doing positive, you ain't got to tell nobody this is what you're doing because your light going to shine regardless. And at times,
that's
I
right.
think people need to pull cotton out their ears and put it in their mouth and sit back and listen sometimes. People so quick to form opinions and jump on bandwagons, man. You got to do your own research on certain situations before you go running off at the mouth.
And you know what? I agree. I have to agree with you. You know, I think what these gentlemen are doing, Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, keeps us divided. Keeps us divided because I agree with what you're saying. You know, we should deal with our disagreement in-house. In-house. These cats are going across the country. They're on radio shows, TV, and I don't know. You know, they're showing a side that I don't think is appropriate, not at a time when we need to be unified as a people, whether we disagree or not.
And especially at a time where you are supposed to be a leader. You march side by side with Martin Luther King. Come on, man. Martin Luther King rolling over in his grave at your behavior. Did you not learn anything?
Wow.
I mean, I'm quite sure Martin Luther King may have had disputes with people, but I bet they went behind closed doors and they handled their disputes. They didn't make it public.
That's right.
It might have been a dust up or two behind closed doors. We don't know. It might have been a rollout, knockdown, drag out fight, but we never heard about it.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Jamal. You're absolutely right. Stand by. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to screen the next caller, and we're going to continue our sound off on tonight's show.
For years, black folks said America was the enemy. Now black folks leaving black folks dead in the streets. Exploit Trayvon Martin, cause he looks just like me. Engaging black on black crime, now you consider a G. We cannot separate the real from the fake. I'm the shark, you debate on rules, real could relate. But sometimes I think we already chose our fate. But deep inside, I pray it's not too late. It's hard to see a black child killed by a black man. Then an older black man blame the white man. Young black man, finger on the trigger. But all he wanna do is just kill another. Now I'ma sell out cause I speak the truth. The only reason why I rap to get this message to you. I don't know what else to do to get through. I made the first move, now it's all on you.
Children dying and people crying. What's going wrong in this world? Who can you trust when everyone around you lying? What's going wrong in this world?
You're listening to EIESOC, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Mix. For all the listeners who just joined us tonight, we're sounding off on a few things. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Again, we're sounding off on gun violence, urban America, black churches, sex, love, money, and race. And what the hell is going on with Travis Smiley and Brother Cornell West? Chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments in there. I'll try to respond. I want to welcome those that are in the chat room. I'm going to go to the phone lines to my next caller, brother, I believe, out of the Carolinas, and that is Brother Roland. Good evening, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, brother. How you doing?
Good evening.
Listen,
welcome
thank
to
you,
tonight.
Folks. Oh, all right. Thank you. Listen, I just heard you run down on the agenda, so I got to choose guns in order to just lay this a little bit of knowledge and some opinion out, especially based on what has occurred today with the Trayvon Martin case and B-29, the black Hispanic juror finally coming forth and saying that George Zimmerman got away with murder. With that being said, the first little bit of knowledge I just wanted to drop is that one of the reasons we have such a disparity between jury selection on jury selection is based on the fact that black folks have not truly pulled up their bootstraps to get out there and register to vote. You got to understand, jury selection comes from voter registration. So if we're looking at any type of justice for black people, for minorities, you got to be on that jury or available to be on that jury. Second little point I want to make here is that the aspect of the implicit racism that if you want to pull Smiley and Cornell West into, they seem to be hyping that implicit racism by white folks up to go not after Obama, but Obama's entire agenda. What that's about is, I can only take it as, it appears just to be a personal thing that, You know, Reverend Sharpton can go to the White House, sit in the Oval Office with him, and they can't. I mean, that's one of the foundations and theories that I've heard in terms of the personal aspects of it. One of the last things I just want to say in terms of guns, death, murder, shooting, and especially, you know, of black folks. You know, in 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, we have another case coming up called Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is damn near 75% that of a Trayvon Martin. Also in Florida, another murder where a white man is shot and killed, a brother, young brother, and his defense is going to be standing your ground. So, you know, we ought to be alert, get a lot of the education out of what has happened with Brother Trayvon. Definitely, you know, try and follow Trayvon's parents on their sites, Facebook and stuff, and follow this news very closely because, you know, we've gotten to a point now, if a black man runs too fast in the neighborhood, he's looked upon as being a criminal running away from a crime, and now we have a white agenda going on. If you walk too slow and you don't look like you're going anywhere, you can be a suspect in a crime. We really need to get on board and open our eyes up as to this genocide that's going down. And I understand we've got a lot of black-on-black crime, but that's a shiny object relative to this subject. We will deal with our own agenda in our own house on our own schedule. It may be too slow as far as I'm concerned, but let's not shy away from the fact that as of now, we've got laws out there that white folks can shoot you down, kill you at will, not even be arrested, walk away, and go home. That's why I leave it for tonight, brother.
Well, first of all, Brother Roland, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate you coming in and sounding off. Two things. Is the case of the brother you just mentioned that's coming up, is it receiving the attention that the Trayvon Martin case is receiving?
Absolutely not. Not at this point. That's what I'm saying. We need to keep our eyes open because the media will. I'm predicting within 2 weeks, it will be that case will be up on the hot front burner as it begins to come to trial. But going to trial in September.
Okay. And you know, I think you said it with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. I think the word that stood out was personal. There's some personal issues that's going on. This isn't a people issue, it's a personal, and I'm gathering the same thing because it just makes no sense to me what they're doing. You know, they're using the guise of.
I co-signed that, brother.
Say that again.
I said I co-signed that. Makes no sense, and I don't understand it either, brother.
Right. They have a personal agenda. Okay, it could be monetary. I don't know. But what they're doing just from where I stand is not right. It's just not right. Not now. We don't need division in our ranks. We don't need that. And with all that Cornel West knows, because he's a very knowledgeable man, okay, I'm really surprised at him, very surprised at him, that he would take this kind of stand against our president and other black leaders. You know, I don't get that. And then he says, to the love he has, well, you're not displaying any kind of love. You know, I said two things, but it's one more thing. You talked about what we need to do as black folk. And, you know, my issue is, yes, we need to do what we need to do for justice in this country. We need to let level the playing field. At the same time, I truly believe that we need to execute the same enthusiasm, anger, and outrage about what's going on in our communities. There is no more time for delay, because while we're fighting for justice for Brother Trayvon and others, our children are still killing each other. And when are we going to address it with the same enthusiasm? I'm disappointed in us, Brother Roland. I'm very disappointed in us, because this is a daily occurrence in our neighborhoods. You got mothers and fathers who have lost their sons and daughters, and the community, the folks that are hollering and shouting about justice for Trayvon, what about your own community? I understand. All right, hold on, Brother Roland, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand, you know, as you put it, I understand. At the same time, it's just unacceptable to me. It's just unacceptable to me. Not when this is going on every day. Mothers crying, burying their children. These are our sons and daughters that are out here committing self-inflicted genocide. And
but here's
we're not showing the same enthusiasm. Go ahead, Brother Nick,
here's the one difference. Is the one difference in the two particular issues. Our black kids that are killing or being arrested immediately or when they can find them. Our black kids ain't shooting and killing somebody, standing there waiting for the police, knowing that they ain't going to be arrested. Okay?
Oh, Brother Roland,
And one issue, you know, doesn't justify the other. Now, granted, black-on-black crime, brother man, we way behind the eight ball on that. And we're killing each other, and it's damn near genocide for the most part. But that don't justify white folks jumping on the bandwagon to the point where they can kill us too. And nothing be done about it.
And you know what? You know what, Brother Roland? I agree. I agree with you. There is no justification. But just for a moment, Brother Roland, just for a moment, say it was reversed. Just for a moment, say it was reverse, okay?
That black man killed a white person?
Listen, just hear me out. Say it was reverse, okay?
Okay.
White on white, you young adults slaughtering each other on a daily basis. A black person kills a white person.
Right.
Okay? And now white people are in an uproar. We're in an uproar.
Right.
We want, all right, and the black person gets away with killing them, okay?
Right.
White folks is in an uproar, all right?
Right.
Now, you don't think that black folks is not going to be sitting back saying, wow, y'all got a lot of nerve getting angry with us. Well, y'all ain't doing nothing about what's happening in your own communities. You don't think that's not going to happen? Or that could happen. Let me say that.
I don't see that. I see it.
Because that's what white folks are doing.
Well,
they're saying.
That's what happened in the OJ trial. What happened in the OJ trial?
Hold a second. Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. You just brought up the OJ trial.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? Stand by.
Okay.
Oh, did I cut myself off? I damn sure did. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Okay. Brother Roland, can you hear me? I'm just having a little technical issue.
Yes, sir.
Can you
hear me clear?
Okay, thank you.
Clear.
Okay, you brought up the O.J. situation.
And how black folks responded to that verdict.
Say it again?
And how black folks responded to the verdict.
Okay. What did O.J., what freed O.J.?
What freed O.J.?
Yeah.
Johnny Cochran in that dream team.
Johnny Cochran doing what again?
Johnny Cochran and his dream team.
And the dream team. What
right.
did Johnny Cochran use to get O.J. off?
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Okay. Well, this is the way I see it. Because I heard this... I heard this not too long ago.
Okay.
I heard that racism got O.J. arrested. That there was this big conspiracy, and it was due to racism, and that's why he was brought into court and charged with murdering Nicole.
Okay.
On the other side of that, it was race that got him off. It was racism that got him off because Johnny Cochran played the race card. Didn't he?
Yeah, but that's not what got him off, brother. It was that glove. It was the physical.
Well, I beg to differ.
When he
I beg off, to differ.
He put Marshall Clark and Darwin, he gave him the ultimate dare and test. It was that glove. And then Mark Furman. When they impeach Mark Furman, do you ever call somebody a nigger? That was just pure attorney defense, man. There was race played in it and the race car played in it, but what the acquittal came on, it came basically on the skills and talents, man, of Johnny Cochran.
Well, yes, he had a brilliant plan. But I got to tell you, in my heart, Johnny knew he was guilty. Johnny knew he was guilty, and he played the race card, and he got him off.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in our business. As a criminal, you know, I'm a criminal defense investigator now. I'm retired. I did for 30 years, brother. In our business, you don't ask your client whether or not you're guilty.
Right. I got that. I get it. I get it.
Okay.
But all I'm saying is, racism is what got O.J.
Yeah.
Simpson off. That's what got him off. Okay, and I can accept that.
I think that's what got him arrested. That's not what got him off. I mean, we can agree to disagree. I don't think racism got him off.
Exactly. I respect your view. You know what I mean? But on another topic, back to what I was saying. You know.
Okay.
We're not focusing. For far as I'm concerned, we're not focusing on black-on-black crime the way that we should. You know, I said something earlier that until we make certain changes with ourselves and start to do things differently, we're not going to be playing on a level playing field. And we have to do some things to create a level playing field. Okay? We have to build ourselves up. Economically, okay, and socially,
absolutely.
And we're lacking in those areas.
Economically, socially, education-wise, yeah, I totally agree with you, brother. Totally agree with you.
And that's what makes this such a struggle, the wakening up of the people, especially in our communities where we live. We got to stop picking the fights that are easy and fight the fight that needs to be fought.
You absolutely right. I totally agree with you, brother. And I'm hoping that this Trayvon Martin case, along with this Jordan case coming up, will be the once and for all a touch in the gut, a eye-opener. You know, when Stevie Wonder and all of these stars talking about they're going to boycott Florida until they eliminate Stand Your Ground. They need to boycott all these other communities until they stop killing each other and turning them damn guns. But then we also have to understand we need to start boycotting Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Colt, and all those factories. You know, black folks ain't making no guns now. We ain't got no gun factory. And we ain't driving no planes, flying no planes, and driving no ships relative to them drugs coming in that community. There's a bigger drug dealer out there, and that drug dealer ain't white. There's a big gun dealer out there, and that gun dealer, the drug dealer ain't black. And that bigger gun dealer out there ain't black either. So we need to start at identifying the source of the problem and work our way on down into the community.
And you're absolutely right. No, we don't manufacture the weapons that are getting into our troubled youth and young adults' hands. At the same time, we're not taking initiatives in our community where we're saying stop the flooding of weapons in our communities.
No, we need to get on.
Because when they wanted to stop the flooding of drugs, crack cocaine, they did it. I mean, it's still there, but not in the abundance that it was, because they stopped it. They stopped it. And you know why it was stopped? But police were starting to get shot and murdered, and they shut it down. See, these are the things as a community we need to start demanding. Okay, you want to talk about boycotting? Okay, how come we won't boycott some urban radio stations that pump that negativity into our young folks' ears 24/7? Why we don't boycott those stations?
We let too much
let it go. Let it go. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't agree with let it go. You want change? These are the measures we need to take. You want to level the playing field? These are the measures we need to take. We need to start being accountable for failure. We need to unify. We need a spiritual remix. And we need to build ourselves up educationally and economically to level the playing field. It's real simple. Real simple. We got to get out of our comfort zone and make it happen. If you want real change—that's what it's going to take.
I totally co-sign you, man, and I give you kudos, man, for you know you have a radio station here, and you have subject matter on there that's credible. You're putting out the word. You're having the knowledge exchange and opinions and stuff. Hopefully we can, you know, get more people to aspire, you know, to open, you know, their eyes and shake and wake up and grab some lapels of these young brothers. You know, I got balancing the scales of justice. I'm trying to do it across the country too, but you know, through the word, written word, you know, pulsing up and researching, you know, various subject matters. So that, you know, the my crew, which is basically senior citizen type thing, 55, 50, you know, and older, you know, can hand it down, man, to their kids and grandkids and possibly make something happen here with these issues as they occur. And like you say, you know, make a good faith-based effort to change this behavior. You know, this detrimental genocide behavior that we got going on in our black community. There's no doubt about it. Again, the president has spoken and is speaking. I do believe he's going to put forth
a much greater effort in the next 2 years on his way out, you know, and trying to make a change for the black community. I mean, he spoke strong last week on the Trayvon case. He spoke strong yesterday on the economic situation. If we can attempt to follow his lead and go forth with, putting more pressure on the Congressional Black Caucus and all other entities, the National Urban League. Tracy Martin spoke at the National Urban League yesterday. Sabrina is going to speak tomorrow, at the National Urban League. These are the things we have to do, man. These are the things we have to do if we're ever going to get to have any progress and attempt to change this path to genocide, man. A way to turn it around, man.
Well, Brother Roland, I commend you on what you do, because I believe it or not, I read a lot of what you put up and what you write, and I got to commend you and Sister Denise, another good friend of mine, and the other members that you spoke on. You said they were up in age, and our young need wisdom. They need wisdom, because they're being led astray, okay, as Malcolm said, bamboozled. They think they're being schooled and they're really being fooled. And it is truly us. It is truly us, those that have been there, done that, can understand, can understand and able to meet them where they're at.
Exactly.
Able to meet, we can talk about them, but do we talk to them?
Right.
Do we look back,
right,
or do we reach back?
Right.
We really need to ask ourselves that. Have we given up on them? Do you believe it? They're a hopeless cause? Because I don't believe that. I don't believe that they are a hopeless cause.
Because
the future. They are the future of black America. They're the future of black America. And if we give up on them, shame on us.
Exactly.
Shame on us. Because
And like you say, it's shame on us. Not on them. It's shame on us. Because we're supposed to be teaching them.
Exactly.
That's
because with
job.
Cases
That's
like Trayvon Martin, cases like Trayvon Martin and others, okay?
Exactly.
We must step up and let them know that their lives are priceless and not worthless as they witness the kind of justice that is displayed when one of them are killed.
Exactly.
So it's truly up to us to let them know, wait a minute, you are somebody. We have to teach them how to love themselves. Teach them some self-pride and self-respect. Okay? That is our responsibility.
And it would help if those Republican jihadist terrorists would stop blocking and obstructing President Obama. You see, anytime the brother wants to implement for the past 2 years the American Jobs Act, you understand, and start fixing roads and bridges and connecting communities, colleges to jobs, so that you have more of a vocational as well as academic, atmosphere or environment, for kids to further educate themselves, beyond high school or GED. I mean, anytime you've got all that kind of obstruction going on, and then you want to block and cut the safety net. You want to cut food stamps, $20 billion, You want to cut the welfare, but you want to give a corporation $40 billion, give them their welfare. We've got some serious goddamn problems going on. But, yes, it's all inclusive, brother. That's why, just to bring it back around the clock again, don't understand what the West thing is and the Smiley thing is, but, you know, hey, you just got to take things sometimes, and, you know, you take the lemons and like they say, turn it into lemonade.
That's right, you know? Brother Roland. You know, the president last year, he signed an executive order for
right.
Black excellence in education. Okay.
Right.
Just recently, the First Lady's new agenda is the prevention of gun violence in America's urban communities.
Absolutely.
This is the First Lady.
Absolutely.
So
exactly.
I don't care what anyone says. There's initiatives going on that maybe some choose not to know about, but there are some who don't know about. The president,
exactly.
yes, has been blocked by the other party, but I know and I truly fear what he's going to start doing. He's starting to start using the power that he holds with the pen, where they won't be
exactly.
able to block him.
Like the executive
order. They won't
order.
Be able to block him. Okay?
Right.
So I still have hope. Okay? In spite of those who oppose him, I still have hope. But I know
but
he cannot do
yeah,
it. He cannot do it all alone. He's not going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves.
There's two slogans I used to post. I'm going to start posting them again. Barack Obama is not Jesus Christ, and Barack Obama is not a king. Barack Obama is a executive, and his power is based on the legislator. He can't make a law. It's the legislator that makes the laws. It's the president that signs those bills into law. So, you know, all of this, Obama, you can do this, Obama do that, Obama do this, Obama do that. You know, they don't understand the essence of what the presidency is all about. He's an executor. He's the executive. And then you have the judicial and the legislative. So, you know, we really, really need to, you know, get our act together, you know, and understand, you know, understand America, understand your surroundings, understand the game that the white man is playing here. And most of all now, understand this judicial system, you know, and how it's constructed and the game that it plays. As we saw here, the prosecution could have done a hell of a lot more for Trayvon. A hell of a lot more for Trayvon. But they sat on their ass.
They presented a weak case, Brother Roland. That is the bottom line. They presented a weak case. And,
yeah,
you know.
But put that sister in jail for 20 years for firing a shot in the damn air. How weak was that?
Well, you know, there it goes back to this, you know, the balance of the scales of justice. When that system
exactly.
was created, it wasn't created with us in mind, you know.
Absolutely.
And I realize that, you know, it's not a fair system. You know, they say justice is blind. Well, I'm saying deaf also, because our cries are falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
And until
yeah.
we make some changes with ourselves, we're going to still go through the same thing. The same thing over and over again. So we
got to
bring ourselves up.
You know, again, like I started off, you got to get that D-O-T-E going, man. Got to get that D-O-T-E going, man. And just
you're
not
right.
Think
that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, that voter registration.
And not just think that every 4 years is important. You know, it ain't about the president, man. Again, he's only the executive. We got 2014 and these midterm elections. That's the heavy duty weight, you know, we got to get into Congress, you know, because you can be, you know, President Obama all you want. But as you see in the House of Representatives, you can't get nothing done. So it's the 20th, the midterm elections that especially black folks got to, you know, got to become aware about and understand how important they are. It's not just every 4 years the president, you know. So North Carolina is seeing it heavy, you know, what their legislatures are doing, Ohio, you know, Florida, especially since the Supreme Court of the United States just eliminated that Section 4 of the Civil Rights Act. You know, we got to be on, brother, I mean, you know, that's what me and you doing, brother. I mean, we're trying to lay it out. And, you know, I guess that's our job and our pathway in terms of, you know, dealing, you know, or contributing, you know, to make America a better place and our culture. So, you know, I just cross my fingers, man. Every day I sit down. Every day I sit down here at the computer box, brother, and I start composing in my head, what am I going to do for the state? What is the premise? What is the story? What is the theme, you know, for today? And all of this now. And we just come up with it, brother. Come up with it.
Brother Roland, I really appreciate you calling in tonight and sounding off. Please join us again. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back. You're listening to EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. Call the number tonight, 424-258-9271. We're sounding off on Trayvon Martin's verdict, gun violence, urban America, black churches, sex, love, money, race, and what the hell is going on with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
We're the new generation. The new generation. And we believe now. We believe.
We believe.
It's a televised revolution. We want democracy. We fight all oppression. We're tired of murder and greed. We want our freedom. Like the Statue of Liberty. We want to see our children live better than you and me. The whole city is a dance floor. It's a celebration. For the whole world to see, things are really changing. From Africa to Asia, through Europe, across the sea, everybody's got their head up. Ain't nobody's on their knees. And the bombs will stop lying. And we gaze the quiet sky. And we stand in love and wonder as a miracle goes by. And it ain't like it used to be, 'cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. We believe in us.
We're the new, new, new.
We believe in us.
We believe in love.
We believe in love.
generation. Now you can't get between us. We're connected like mother and child. It's a worldwide network. You better log on before you die, 'cause the old God is over and the new way is baptized. And now we're storming through the palace, singing, dancing, you know why, waving peace flags on the balcony. Yeah, we just changed history. Here we all join hands and thank God for listening. And the prophets are flying, and we gaze a quiet sky, and we stand in love and wonder as the miracles come by. And it ain't like it used to be, 'cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. 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 We're the new, 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 new. We're the new, 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 new. We're the new, 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 new generation.
You're listening to EIE. SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I'm also the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Southeast Queens. Tonight, we've been sounding off about a few different things. Trayvon Martin case, the president. We've been talking about Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. Also, gun violence in urban communities and the participation of those who occupy urban communities to prevent any further acts of genocide being committed by our troubled youth and young adults. Calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. You can call in and you can sound off about anything that I just spoke on. Also, going to end the show in about another maybe 10 to 15 minutes. So if you're going to call in, now is the time. Chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. If you're listening and you can't get in the chat room, you can log in by way of Facebook or Twitter. I'm going to go back to my first caller, get some of his final comments before We close shortly, but again, 424-258-9271, press 1. I know you're in the queue, and we're sounding off tonight, so feel free. Brother Jamal, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I just want to say before the show close out about the gun violence. Me, myself, I'm a supporter of firearms. Reason being that the Second Amendment, we have a right to bear arms, was put there in order to prevent the government from running the people. You know what I mean? But in my opinion now, a gun is only a worthless piece of metal until it gets into the wrong hands. Now, I'm going to get into why I think these youngsters run around and they do so much shooting. Okay, now, we have a lot of young men raised in single-parent homes by women. And a lot of these women, they take these roles on as a man, and they get pissed off at a man, and they try to fight a man, knowing they can't physically win that fight, and the first thing they do is to go run and get a weapon. So basically what I'm saying is, these kids ain't learned to square up and fight it out or whatever your situation may be. They growing up and they watching their mamas going to pick up weapons, and they going to pick up weapons because they ain't been taught nothing by a man. And I think that's part of the problem with the gun violence. And true enough, they are running too freely in the streets. If you a gun owner, it ought to be locked up. It ought to be under lock and key. It's ridiculous for your child to get a hold to your firearm. Matter of fact, your child shouldn't even know if you own a firearm or not. That should be confidential information, because a lot of these kids is just picking up their parents' guns and going out there and they shooting people. You know what I mean? And they picking up that behavior from that single-parent home where you got that mother, that angry black woman, and people don't know how to sit down and talk out their problems, the first thing they want to do is fight. But the reason I would say behind that is that we as black people, we are touchy people. When we greet, we shake hands and we hug, you know what I mean? And when you mix that with anger, you get a bad touch. Because we are very touchy people. We like to shake hands. We like to pat each other on the back. We like to hug. We like to show affection. But what happens when you mix that affection with anger?
Well, Jamal, you know, I think what you said, or saying rather, is part of the reason. Part of the reasons. You know, you said something about single parent homes. Where are the men? Where are the fathers? Okay, some are incarcerated, some are dead, some have just walked away. Okay, so yes, you got a lot of young men being raised by women.
I'm quite sure women got uncles or a cousin or somebody. It needs to be a man in a little boy's life. It don't have to be a man you dating, just some man, a grandfather, a cousin, a uncle, a friend, somebody you trust. A little boy should interact with a man in order to learn to be a man. I mean, just because she in that single-parent home don't mean not to let their child interact with a man. You got mentor programs. It's programs. It's different things out here that they can get these children, these males, in other words, involved with a man, a good man. Every woman know a good man, whether she dating him or not, whether it was her father, her granddaddy, a cousin, a uncle, a brother. Every woman knows at least one good man. And if they would ask that man to take time out with that child, if he has any kind of heart and he want to see that little boy to grow up and be a man, he shouldn't mind doing it.
So what you're saying is there's no excuses?
No. I don't think there's no excuses for raising a boy without a man in his life, because there's too many programs and too many other options. And sometimes we want to make excuses instead of dealing with the problem. Excuses are tools of incompetence, and those who rely on them seldom become good at anything else.
You want to repeat that one more time, but a little more louder? Because I like that.
Excuses are tools of incompetence, and those who rely on them seldom become good at anything else.
Thank you, Brother
that
Jamal.
That was a quote that I learned from my 8th grade music teacher. That was her class alma mater, and we had to learn that by heart. If you didn't know it, you flunked for that day in music class.
Thank you, Brother Jamal. You know, that needs to be heard, because there are just too many excuses for why we won't. So I want to thank you again for repeating that, you know, because it is time to do what we need to do and stop choosing to do what we want to do. Because what we've been wanting to do has resulted in zero progress, and it's time for change. We got to do different things, different ways, because it will work if we're willing to put in the work. I believe that, you know. I believe in gathering the masses, because the masses are our strength, and we stand side by side for one agenda: to save children's lives and to bring safe passage back to our communities, and to build us up as a people and stop all of this every man for the, or woman for themselves, survival of the fittest. If not for those before us, we wouldn't have the liberties and the freedoms that we have today. Never forget who sacrificed for us, who laid their lives down, who fought, who stood on the lines and took the beatings and the shootings and the hangings. Let's not take that for granted. Without them, we would not be where we are today. And now it is time to nurture the progress that has been made and get out of this complacency, because complacency is killing us.
Amen, brother.
Listen, Brother Jamal, I want to thank you again for calling in and supporting us tonight. Please join us.
It was an honor. It was an honor.
Back thank you. Thank you so much, my brother. You be blessed. And, again, come back and join us anytime. Have
peace
a blessed
be
night.
To you. You too.
All right. You've been listening to EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Wow. So we did a little bit of sounding off tonight. The lines didn't really fill up, but still, there was some good dialogue. I learned a lot. I hope you did too. I'm just going to give you a sneak preview of our show this Sunday, 8 p.m. You're going to want to tune into this show. We have a woman, a lady rather, who's going to be a guest on our show. This lady has risen from child abuse. I'm not going to tell you her story. I'm going to let her tell you her story, which you're going to want to tune in for this. No, her story may not be unique. At the same time, her strength is remarkable. And where she stands in life today is remarkable. And what she's doing to help others is remarkable. So don't forget, this Sunday, please tune in to EIESOC Radio, because, like I said, you don't want to miss this. Our guest for the night will be Ms. Shawnae Lathan, a survivor of child abuse. You're going to want to hear her story. Tune in early because I expect the lines to be flooded. So if you want to get in and make a comment or ask a question, I suggest you tune in early. We're going to come on at 8 o'clock, and I'm expecting a really good show this Sunday, 8 p.m. That's July 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us. Be a part of the discussion. You'll probably learn a few things. And hope to see you there. I'm going to close. But before I close, there's a lot going on in the country today, especially in Black America, in our urban communities. There's civil unrest. There's gun violence. You know, there's poverty. We've got several elections coming up. You know, I know here in New York we have local elections. You know, we have the mayoral election coming up in local politicians who are making promises to get in office. It's time for us to hold our elected officials accountable before we cast our votes. We need to know that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. We need to demand that they address the ills of our communities. We don't want to hear, I can't do this and I can't do that. Because before you got in office, you said you could. So if you can't really do what you say, don't count on my vote. And I'm asking the people not to vote either. Vote for those who show and prove that they're for the people and not for themselves. It's time that we get leadership right in our communities. And how do we do that? We empower ourselves to demand change. We can make it happen if we want to. Time to do things differently. I hope you're with me. I know that some of you are. Some of you have said, what's the use? It's hopeless. Who gets elected. Don't believe that lie. Your vote has power. Your say has power. You're a taxpayer. Your taxes pay their salaries. Don't forget that. Listen, My name is Tony Nix. I'm the host of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. Y'all have been great. Thanks for listening. And again, Sunday, tune in. We're going to have a great show. You're going to want to be a part of this. So don't miss it. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our guest will be Miss Sharnae Lathan and her remarkable story coming back from child abuse. No one told you today. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed night.
They all stood up and believed in something. Look at them today. Look at where we are today. I kind of just feel like our definition. We failed. Our generation has failed. You know, to live up to what we're supposed to be.
When we all ate the beef, now who's really to blame? For the reason why pops is gone, mom's struggling, and I join the gang. Media flashing, glorifying the lie, neutralizing the problem is their way of saying blacks die. Now figure the time on their hands when they considered work, draw cartoons, and send fake facts as a recommend. Me to smash you because you plotting on me. They posing as pigs, but them cowards ain't doing nothing but causing riots in the streets. I challenge you to see a mountain we can be and getting the truth in every line to make you think before you speak and change the way the game go. Cause this ain't what X-King, Bunchy, and Pratt and stand for. Believe that.
Hey God, I know you. Help me express my feelings. Not about me, Father, it's about the children. Can we stop this senseless killing? You're the teacher, you conduct the classes. Give me the game so I can give it to the masses. Can't you see everything's not okay? Living in the last day.
Slauson boys is in the house. And what about the businessmen? They in the house. The gladiators and the bishops is in the house. If the spook hunters come, we'll be running them out. Nowadays, you probably get a gun in your mouth. These young gunners be thugging it out. Don't even know what crippling and blooding's about. Sagging, rag hanging, pig and ponytail swinging, and don't know the first thing about banging. See, we the bastard children of the Black Panther Party. Before the red and the blue, it was the color of your body. The black and the white, and it's cracking on sight. Couldn't even go to Inglewood without having a fight. Brothers had to unite, cause the color of our skin wasn't men. No LeBron, no Tiger Woods, but a bunch of M&Ms. But once they all moved and the dope came in, this 187, let the games begin.
On the phone with G-Bone, hollering what's going on. Los Angeles is scandalous, but I call it home. These pigs try to twist and put me back in the ditch. Real G, plead the fifth, man, my life is a bitch. I used to want to be the Black Panther. I didn't know why until I seen that movie Bastards. This is the movement, and this is just another chapter. Talking to the youth, cause Big Snoop Dogg is the pastor. Open your mind and roll with me, cause I'm giving you game. You gotta try to make a change if you wanna have a few things. Now all that killing one another, when you know that fool mother went to school with his brother, real smooth undercover. CIA, FBI, DEA, CIA, it's all the same thing. It's like when they look at us, they say we all in the gang. We not changed.
Hey God, I know you listen. Help me express my feelings. Not about me, Father, it's about the children. Can we stop all of the senseless killing? You're the teacher, you conduct the class. Give me the game so I can give it to the masses. Can't you see everything's not okay? Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't quite left the studio yet because there's another caller on the line who just happened to call in late and they wanted to sound off about Cornel West. Let me welcome my friend, scholar, and mentor, Brother Doc Scott. Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother. Yeah, you know, Brother Tony, you know me. You've known me for a few years now, and you know I usually don't. I try to always take things to the positive, and I think this is positive. I come from the old school, and the old school saying is, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, then don't say anything at all. And so I'm a firm believer in that. But Brother West supposedly represents the cloth, but he makes me ashamed with everything that he has to say about the president and his approach to that. I don't have a problem with disagreeing, but his approach and a couple other people, Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, the way they talk about the president like he stole a biscuit during the Depression, that is really sad, and it's shameful. And to me, I think he needs to be ashamed. And people that follow that approach, I think it's shameful. And to me, I've lost a lot of respect for him and for Tavis. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, Doc, I'm glad you said something on that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of people so intelligent that they start to lose their minds?
Yeah, I have. Because they think they're so intelligent, it's almost like power. And you know, like money corrupts, and having all the money corrupts, and power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. It's the same things with intelligence, or people think that they're intelligent. It's the same application. These people just believe that that's the way it is, and so I don't think you can engage them in conversation, because they actually do believe the crap that they've learned, and there's no talking to them, and you can't engage them in conversation because they believe all the crap that they've learned, and so you're better off not getting into the pit with them, because you're just getting into a pit with pit vipers, and you are going to get bit if you get into that pit with them. And so it's just best just to stay out of the pit. But it makes me ashamed to see how they respond and how they act, because at one point in time I had some respect, but at this point in time I've lost respect for them in the way they respond to the president. And anybody that responds that way, I have less respect for them, because I think it's shameful, very shameful.
And, Doc, I'm in agreement with you. Listen, I'm grateful you called in, even though it was a little late, and gave us your thoughts and your views. I'm going to close out, but thanks again for calling in. Please join us on Sunday. We're going to have a very interesting show. Our guest for the night will be Shawnee Lathan and her rise from child abuse. So, again, Doc,
okay. Be
blessed, and I'll talk to you soon, okay? Have a blessed night.
Brother. You too. Bye.
Okay, listeners, really signing off this time. Listen, there's a plague in urban communities. It's called gun violence. It's wreaking havoc in every urban community across America. People, it's time to get involved. Because the sooner that we have no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's K-N-O-W, deuces. Good night again.
Hey.